Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get a juicy frozen grade A Kroger turkey for 49 cents a pound, limit one with a $25 additional purchase with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the Paranormal Girl Podcast. I am your host, Kristen. Hey, everyone. I hope you guys are doing all right. Thank you so much for tuning in. I got another great discussion to share with you. I know a lot of you are going to be very happy with the topic of conversation between today's guest and myself. We are diving headfirst back into the hide-and-seek champion of the world, the ever-elusive, ever-enigmatic Mr. Bigfoot, once again. My guest is the founder and president of Manimal Research, a small Sasquatch research organization out of Southeast Tennessee. He has led many field investigations in Tennessee, Georgia, North Carolina, collecting evidence along the way. He has been the host of the live-streamed Paranormal Odyssey, and he also hosts That Bigfoot Podcast, along with Brian King Sharp of Sasquatch Odyssey. As a host, he has interviewed many eyewitnesses and fellow researchers alike. He has also been a guest on several podcasts and was featured in the very imaginative and entertaining Tubi original Battle of the Beasts, Bigfoot versus Yeti. Please enjoy my conversation with Wayne Tutherow.
I appreciate your introduction there. It made me sound a whole lot more important than I actually am. Just a curious guy from the Southeast, founded Manimal Research in 2019. It's just a small Sasquatch research organization. And I guess I need to go back to what really led me to do it. Back in 2019, I was working at a place about an hour from my home. So I had an hour commute there, an hour commute back, and my car goes down. I have to borrow a spare truck of my dad's to get back and forth. And my luck, as you would know it, the day after I borrow this truck, the radio goes out. So what the hell am I going to do for 2 hours of my day with nothing to listen to? I really was distraught. I didn't know what I was going to do. That's when I discovered podcasts.
Okay.
I had heard of them, obviously. You know, I don't live under a rock. I had heard of them, but I had never listened to them, never gave them a chance. So I was forced to at this point. And I've always been interested in the weird, the creepy, cryptids mainly. Bigfoot has always held just a special place for me. So I started looking for like paranormal, weird podcasts, and I found Monsters Among Us. Very popular show.
Oh, yeah.
Derek Hayes does an amazing job. Mm-hmm. I started just binging the hell out of it. And I couldn't get enough of it, but I found myself wishing that the people that he had come on and the people that were sharing their stories, I found myself wishing they would just shut up and get back to the Bigfoot. That's all I really wanted. I mean, all the other stuff was cool, but the Bigfoot, anytime I heard a Bigfoot encounter, it just grabbed me. So I started looking, and oh my God, I found a podcast dedicated to nothing but Bigfoot, Sasquatch Chronicles. And I was in heaven. I started binging the hell out of it. That's where I figured out, you know, because I had seen Finding Bigfoot and stuff like that, but I had no idea that people in my area were actually going out and looking for these things. Yeah. I always thought it was out in your neck of the woods, a Pacific Northwest kind of thing, California, Oregon, Washington. I had no idea in Tennessee that people were doing this stuff. So as I'm listening one day, and this gentleman talks about he and his son had an encounter. He said, I live in a small town about 45 minutes north of Chattanooga, Tennessee. I live in a small town about 45 minutes north of Tennessee. And he starts talking about this recreation area and what it looks like and all this stuff. And like, that sounds like a place I've been. Lo and behold, he lives in my town. He's talking about this place that I had been to several times, and he had a Bigfoot encounter in there. So what I do is, you know, this is back when the early days, I'm just deciding if I'm wanting to do this, wanting to take this step, you know, because I know nothing about this stuff. So I get a buddy of mine that's also interested, a coworker, and we go out to this place. And there's this little old man, probably in his 70s. I don't know if he's a ranger or he's over that specific park, that area. And you can camp in there. The closest camp spot is a 2-mile hike in, though. So it's not one of those things where you can just pull up, take your stuff out and camp. You got to be dedicated. You got to take all your stuff with you. It's one trip in, one trip out. So we're deciding, do we want to do this? So we find this gentleman and we talk to him, asking him about the camping. And he explains it to us. You know, you got to register and all this stuff. And he said, you want to tie your food up in the tree so the critters can't get it. And that's when I took my, I said, okay, I'm going all in here to hear it. I'm taking my shot. Mm-hmm. What kind of critters are we talking about? He said, well, you know, raccoons, deer, we do have the occasional bear. And I said, okay. What about much, much taller critters, maybe covered in hair, walking on two legs? His eyes got like huge. He looked right at me and I swear to you, he said, yes, they're here and I've seen them. That lit me up. It lit my buddy up. We were just on cloud nine. Okay. What happened? So apparently he pointed over to the ridge across from us where we were standing. There's a steep hill going down, and then there's a creek, almost like a small river, really. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side, another steep ridge going up. And he pointed to that far side and said, I saw one running up that ridge. I had rocks thrown at me. I've been screamed at on more than one occasion, but that's the only time I've seen them. So he had me right there. I was hooked. I got on the BFRO website, and in the county that I was living in, which was Ray County, there is one report on the BFRO website from Ray County, and it's from inside that park. It's not this guy. It's a gentleman that did some camping out there. He was solo camping. I mean, the set on this guy, solo camping in a place like that, I'm not brave enough to do it. I know there are a lot of people out there that are, but the stuff that I've seen and heard in the woods, I'm not brave enough in that area. But he was solo camping, and he woke up about 2 or 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Something woke him up, and he peeked his head out the tent, and he saw a silhouette of two somethings standing on 2 feet. He said it looked like just very large men, and they were just standing off looking at him. Imagine, if you will, how just freaking terrifying that would be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You are at least 2 miles from your vehicle, and you've got that happening at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely terrifying.
But that's when I figured out that people were actually willingly going out and looking for these things. So I started thinking, I looked into joining the BFRO. I talked to lady about going on one of their expeditions. And for your listeners that aren't familiar with how the BFRO works, you have to pay to go on an expedition that's led by the BFRO. I've been on one before, and it's because the lady that does it in my area, she and I are really good friends, and she invited me to come along to see what it was. But at this time, I didn't know her. So I call, and she tells me $500.
Ooh.
For 4 nights of camping. And that does sound like a lot. It does.
Yeah.
But you're being fed 2 meals a day for 4 days. She gives you a t-shirt. The place ain't free. You know, you have to have insurance to hold an event like that. You have to pay the place to hold it. So, I mean, $500 is a lot of money. It really is. But she's not making a killing. And now that I know everything that goes into it, but still, you know, I didn't know that at the time. And $500, I'm like, hell no. You know, I'm not going to pay nobody $500 just to go in the woods. I'll do it myself. I've been camping before. So that was a no for me. So I looked into the Wood Ape Conservancy. And they also have a yearly fee. I mean, you have to pay. I'm sorry. I should say you also have to pay them. It's not like a big lump sum a couple times a year. It's a monthly fee, if I remember correctly. Either monthly or you pay it all at once for the year. But the more I started looking into those groups, the more negativity I was seeing. Yeah. The name calling, the bashing, that this person does this, don't listen to this person, they don't know what they're talking about. And that stuff is everywhere, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And I hate it. I hate it. I can't stand it. I feel like as a community, a Bigfoot Sasquatch community, we would be so much further along if we could get along. If we would all work together. I feel like maybe we wouldn't have solved it by now, but maybe we'd be further along. We'd have more evidence. I don't know. So I'm sorry, go ahead.
Do you think that has more so to do with that divide that I think everybody recognizes now between the flesh and blooders and the something else? It's something else. I don't know, something paranormal. Is it
the have woo. To do with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, there definitely is a divide there. And my thing is, why can't it be a little of both? There's no reason that it can't be a flesh and blood animal that has abilities that we don't have.
Right.
Call it woo, call it whatever you want. I don't think, and I'm going to piss some people off, I always do. I don't think Bigfoot is an alien. I don't. I've had people on that swear it is. I had this doctor on, just a lady that lives in in Hawaii. Big difference there. I just got back from Ohio. It's nothing like Hawaii. But she's a doctor. She's a PhD, and she swears that not only is Bigfoot an alien, but she can tell you where the planet that they came from and all this. And I respect this lady. She's intelligent. She's very well spoken, but I can't get there.
Yeah.
I don't think they're aliens. I also, and I caught some flack for this, for making this statement on that Bigfoot podcast. I don't think we need to bring religion into it. I don't, myself, I don't feel like they're the Nephilim.
Right, right.
A lot of people do. And this dude that claims to be a Christian, he emailed, and we didn't share the email, and I still might one day, because it flew all over me, just the way he talked to me. Claiming to be a Christian just because I gave my opinion that I don't think that they're Nephilim. I don't think that we need to be bringing religion into it. I'm on record saying many, many times, I'm a Christian man. I'm Southern Baptist. Don't go to church like I should, but I do go to church. I've been baptized, all that. I pray. I believe in God. I believe Bigfoot is another one of God's creations. God created it just like he created you and I. This one particular creation, we just don't know much about. We haven't found it yet for whatever reason. It's another one of God's creations that we just don't know anything about. And this man emailed me and just tore into me. I mean, does Wayne ever read the Bible? Does Wayne do this? Does Wayne do that? You completely alienated a whole group. Dude, how did I alienate anybody? All I did was give my opinion.
Yeah, that's really unfortunate. Like, I do agree with you on that. Like, I think there's a lot of stuff that is brought into the Bigfoot subject that doesn't necessarily need to be there, because it's already such a huge mystery. And it does bother me when we start compounding and adding, you know, answering the mystery with another mystery. And then, then that opens up a whole other mystery. It's like that, it just makes it so much harder than it has to be. Let's just start from the ground and go up, like from there. Let's start simple, you know, go on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're answering one mystery with another mystery. I love how you said that.
Yeah.
And then something else I have a problem with is this cult-like following that some people have. The gentleman, I'm forgetting his name, but Brian and I have talked about him several times on that Bigfoot podcast. He's a doctor. He's a psychologist. Dr. Jeff, not Meldrum.
It'll come to me.
No, I think the world of Dr. Meldrum. I think he's an amazing man, has done some amazing things for the studies of Bigfoot. But this guy, he's out there, dude. He claims that Zorth is a Bigfoot that communicates with him and him only. Mm-hmm. He gives him the information and has given this gentleman given him the authority to share their word to the Council of 12 or something like that. He is the 12th member, and he plays this audio that supposedly is Zorth telling everyone to vote for Trump. Yeah.
Pretty direct order. Yeah.
Yes. Like, you have to laugh because it's fucking ridiculous. Supposedly this recording says Trump bad boy, as in, yeah, he's a badass. I love that guy. Trump bad boy. I love that president. Vote for Trump or something like that. And that was the council giving him permission to tell all of us that we need to vote for Trump.
Wow.
What does that sound like to you? A cult.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you think about like David Koresh in Waco, mm-hmm. God spoke to him. He was God. God told him what to tell the other people.
Are there folks? Are there folks that are like following
yes.
that guy? Okay.
Yes, that's the thing. He sells out places. People that come and listen and they hang on every word of what this dude is saying. It is killing me that I can't think of his name.
But it's a doctor something. I'll have to look at that. Yeah.
Yeah. He does like his own special conferences. He has this own area that he owns property that he holds these events. And what gets me is what kind of made me feel like this is going toward the cult kind of thing. Mm-hmm. There's this lady on his YouTube channel, at least one. I think there's a few. But this is where I have a problem. When people start claiming they were healed, this woman claims that she came on one of his retreats and Bigfoot healed her from her ailment, whatever it was. That's too much.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
there's a lot of strange stories, strange experiences that people have claimed have happened. And like, I do see it from, you know, from the skeptical point of view. It just makes it so much harder for this field to get the credibility that I think it does deserve. Like there's plenty of evidence. There's plenty of credible things that have happened, unexplainable things that have happened that do point to something. There is something out there doing stuff. And here is why. And just these stories just really, really get in the way of that. And you know, I'm pretty open-minded. Like I'm not one to ever tell somebody, like if they tell me that something happened to them, you know, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. I will listen to you. I will consider it. But there's just some stuff where there's too much human in there, like too much ego in there that it's like, well, maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah. Kristen, what you're talking about there is exactly why Brian and I started That Bigfoot Podcast. When you know, you started off talking, saying that it's things like that that gives this subject a bad name. Mm-hmm. It's not only stuff like that. It's these pictures.
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get a juicy frozen grade A Kroger turkey for 49 cents a pound, limit one, with a $25 additional purchase with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I don't know how much attention you've paid or if you belong to any Bigfoot groups on Facebook. If you don't, it'd be worth a good laugh to go and join a couple of them, because these pictures that people share and claim to be Bigfoot, Brian and I call them red circle squatches because they got the damn red circle.
In order to see it, yeah.
Exactly. Okay, yeah. People, if you got to draw a circle around something, don't share it. Mm-hmm. You're not doing anybody any good. I mean, it's ridiculous. Are you familiar with pareidolia?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
It's leaves, sticks, shadows that resemble a face,
yeah,
or an outline of a body. I could go out, you and I could go out right now to the woods, snap a picture, and find five Bigfoot in that picture.
We can. And unfortunately, people don't realize how easy of a tendency pareidolia is, or apophania, mm-hmm, is. Like, it is so easy for us to do that. That is a human tendency. It's a survival instinct to do that. So yeah, we just got to be a little bit more careful and skeptical than that. But people so desperately want to believe too, and they so desperately want to say, "Look, I got evidence; it's out there." Mm-hmm. You know.
But you got to be wary of that person. I mean, Bigfoot is an elusive creature. I think we can, mm-hmm, all agree on that. We don't have one. We haven't proven that they exist. Yeah. So, how do these people that are drawing those red circles, how are they seeing them every damn day?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Every day they're seeing, every time they go in the woods, they're seeing Bigfoot, this elusive creature. How is that possible? You got to question that stuff. And the worst part, in my opinion, is not just the picture. The pictures are terrible, but it's the people feeding the people that are sharing the picture. Because if you look at the comments under every one of those pictures, you're going to have your laughs and your, I don't see nothing. Hey, dude, you're crazy. You're going to get those. But for every one of those, you have five. Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome picture, dude. Wow. Look at him. You can see his teeth. Wow. Good job, brother. Way to go. Mm-hmm. And it's just like an ego thing. It's like you're stroking their ego and they can't get enough of it. So that's pushing them to go out and take more of these pictures. And we've debated, we've had psychologists on the show to talk. Is there a possible mental disorder at play? You know, we're never going to call anyone crazy or poke fun at anything like that, but is it possible? Schizophrenia? You know, people seeing things that aren't there? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm certainly no doctor, but you got a question. Do these people really believe that they're seeing something, or do they just want attention?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you have to, like, give it that much room to, like, you just have to assume most of the photo evidence, most of the video evidence that is out there, most of it can't all be real, especially when it's very blurry and it's very blobby, and unless you have really good, just detailed, undeniable stuff that you can bring to the table, you know, the rest of the stuff, there's just so much, it's flooded. So you just kind of have to automatically kind of nix a lot of that stuff out. But you do bring up a good point with the all of the cameras in people's pockets nowadays. You know, everybody's got a phone. Decades to find this thing. What do you tell the skeptical when they ask you, why haven't we found this thing? Why don't we have that excellent evidence? Where is it? If this thing is real, where is it?
You know, that's a great question. It's certainly valid, but kind of to the point that you were just kind of making, the people that put out these crazy pictures, you wonder why you can't get a good quality photo or video. Well, you know what's going to happen? You know what happens when people do that? They get called a liar. Mm-hmm. They get called a hoaxer. I strongly believe that there are people out there right now with very, very good photograph and video evidence, mm-hmm. but they won't come off of it for fear of ridicule.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm telling you, I could get HD quality film of two Bigfoot mating in my backyard, just full video, Bigfoot porn, and put it out there, and someone's going to call me a liar. Mm-hmm. Someone's going to call me a hoaxer. There's going to be someone that breaks down the footage to show, well, here's the zipper. And here, I mean, and that's the community that we're in. It's so, so very unfortunate.
Yeah.
But yeah, to kind of answer your question of what do we tell the skeptics as to why, I don't know. One of the biggest questions is, why haven't we found a body? Well, how many dead bears have you seen in the woods?
Exactly.
Not many. Nature does a pretty dang good job of completing the process once something dies. It does not take long for a body to break down. I myself, and this is something else I've caught flack on, I believe they bury their dead. Hmm. I really do. It's just my opinion, and it's just from people that I've talked to. I've talked to people that I feel are credible, that know someone who has claimed to witness it, that swears by it. I don't have that perfect story, a firsthand story from someone that actually witnessed it. I just people that I know and respect that do have that. I believe they live in family structures. I do. So if they bury their dead, that's a big reason why we're not finding the bodies. I'm in the camp of, and I want to ask your opinion on this. Mm-hmm. I'm in the camp of, it's going to take a body before science finally comes out and admits that, yes, this thing is real. What do you think? Is there a way of doing it without killing one?
Unfortunately, I'm mostly with you and Dr. Krantz, who also, he landed on that, and that's where he stayed for the rest of his life. I do believe that is what it's ultimately going to take. On an individual level, no. It took my seeing undeniable evidence of something over and over and over again, but it just got to the point where this is too much undeniable evidence. It is all pointing to the same thing. And that is the answer here. That is what answers this for me. Like I don't need to see a dead body at this point. So I think on an individual level, no. But for it to be considered, you know, a credible subject, something that's going to be considered by the scientific community, that is what it's going to require at this point, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. DNA is not going to do it. I don't think. I mean, we already have DNA from an unidentified primate.
That's in North America. That's exactly it. Yeah. So, we have multiple examples of good DNA of unidentified creatures out there, primate at its base. Like, in North America.
Why isn't that enough?
Mm-hmm. It's not going to be. Yeah. Got to have that type specimen.
Exactly.
Well, to the evidence. What do you think, aside from, like, we were talking about, you know, photos and video captures, but of course there's a bunch more evidence in this field. There's so much to consider. Aside from like something like the PGF, which everyone thinks it's the gold standard. It is. Mm-hmm. Aside from that, like, what do you think is our currently sitting best evidence of its existence?
As you said, the Patterson-Gimlin film is the gold standard. I'm going to go, I would say, I would agree with Meldrum that the prints are the best evidence that we have to support it, because Meldrum's a smart guy. You know, I mean, I don't know how many years he went to school to do what he does. If he is convinced that the print he's looking at was made by a living, breathing, biological creature, then that's enough. That's enough for me. In my opinion, the prints are the best. Pictures are never going to do it. If the Patterson-Gimlin film didn't do it, then video is never going to do it. Because in my opinion, the mystery was solved in 1967 in October. Those cowboys filmed a Bigfoot, you know, back then. Something else, but swinging back to the why skeptics, questions that skeptics have. One question I've always had, and rightfully so, and one that I didn't understand until it happened to me, was why didn't you get a picture of this thing? In today's day and age, like you said earlier, we all have cameras in our pocket. Every one of us has a very high quality HD camera right now. The cameras on your phones are better than most you can go and buy. So if you're seeing this, why didn't you pull your camera, your phone out and snap a picture? I can answer that.
Okay.
And I'm going to answer that. And it's about 2020. This is from a personal experience. 2020, 21, early days of Manimal. We are on an expedition. There's four of us. I've shared this story many times because it's a perfect example of why we don't just snap pictures. We're on this expedition. There's four of us, and we're in North Georgia. There's myself, an older gentleman, a gentleman about my age, and then the older gentleman's 13-year-old grandson. From the minute we got to camp, I just felt off, like something was wrong. We didn't need to be there, unlike any other investigation I had ever been on. So I was just feeling weird the whole time. We used to do what we called night hikes. That's when we would go out, you know, around midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, and walk through the woods. As a group, we don't really do those anymore because it's dangerous. You know, bad things can happen. And I firmly believe that you are never, ever going to sneak up on a Sasquatch. They know you're there before you get there. I mean, they know you're there. So there's really no point in walking around in the woods in the dark. You can fall in a hole. You can turn an ankle, break a leg. So we don't do that. I believe, and we believe as a group, if you want to have an experience with Bigfoot, you go camping in an area where you believe they're at. They'll come to you. They're going to come find you if there's anything in the area. I really believe that. But at the time, we were doing night hikes. So it comes time to go out and do this one. And like I said, I'm not feeling it. I don't really want to do it. And the 13-year-old boy, I could tell, was apprehensive. He was a little bit scared. It was one of his first times out. So I said, well, me and little man, I hang back here at camp. You guys go out, do your thing. We have radios. We'll stay in constant communication. If you need anything, we'll come help you, whatever. So like, all right. So they go out and they do theirs. And keep in mind, we're on expedition. We are there for one reason, to gather evidence. We have all of our equipment, thousands of dollars worth of equipment. I've got my FLIR, you know, thermal camera. We have parabolic mics, several video camcorders. We all have phones. We have recorders. Everything that you can think of for an expedition, we have it. So they're out doing their thing. They're not gone 10 minutes before the most ungodly sound I have ever heard in my life let loose. It scared the shit out of me and this little boy, this 13-year-old boy. It sounded like a hyena, like a dog bark, like a deep bark into the most sinister laugh you've ever heard.
Jesus.
Yes, it was terrifying. It would last several seconds, stop for about 10, 15 seconds, do it again. Within about a 2-minute span, it went off about a dozen times, 2.5, 3-minute span. It went off about 12 times.
Okay.
I would say. And keep in mind, we have all this evidence, all this equipment, everything. We're there for one reason, to gather evidence to suggest that something we don't know about is out there. Kristen, you don't want to know what I reached for? The 45 on my hip. The 45 that was on my hip.
Okay.
That's what I pulled.
Mm-hmm. And that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. I did not pull my gun. I did not pull my phone. I did not reach for a recorder. Mm-hmm. I'd give anything to have a recording of that right now. But self-preservation is what took over.
Yeah.
I was scared shitless. This boy, he just kept getting closer and closer and closer to me, and I could feel him shaking. He was that scared. So I've got my 45 in one hand. I got my radio right here. Are y'all hearing that? Yes. What the hell is that? I don't know. Come back. So they start making their way back. And like I said, about 12 times, this just horrendous sound. And I have found it on the internet. I'll send you a copy when we get done. Maybe you can attach it to the episode when it's released.
Yeah.
But it's terrifying. One of the places I found it was, are you familiar with Thinker Thunker?
I am. Yeah.
He broke down that exact same sound.
No.
Someone sent it to him, and he came back with, he has no idea what it was. It's no known animal to him.
Does it sound like other Bigfoot sounds that you've heard, like Sierra sounds, or does it sound like something you've just literally never heard before? It's just crazy.
People have said it was a juvenile Bigfoot or a female Bigfoot or something. How do you know that? Unless see it doing it, you don't know. People have said Bigfoot, but the classic, the Ohio howl and things like that, it sounds nothing like it. The video that Thinker Thunker breaks down is from a gentleman from one of the Indian reservations, Native American reservations. Okay. He hears it, and he's got the camera on himself, and this thing is going off in the background. He's like, what the hell is that? And it sounds like, if you could picture the devil laughing, that's what it sounds like. And it's loud. This thing sounded like it was right on top of us. It was terrifying.
Now, this was, remind me, you said this took place in Georgia?
This one happened in North Georgia. The one I'm telling you about with Thinker Thunker was out west on one of the reservations. I also found it from a gentleman in the Adirondacks in New York, had the same recording. Oh. So it's all over.
Huh. Interesting. Yes, please do send me the file. I would very much like to hear it. The sounds that they make wasn't something I got very deeply into, but it was a part of the subject that just fascinates the hell out of me. That those sounds that they make, and just they're not explainable via normal means. Like, no other animals have been recorded making these sounds before. So, and then they're always just so loud. They're just beyond loud. Like, you can feel the vibrations.
Yeah.
So was this your, that is terrifying. It's a terrifying experience. Was this your only experience with Bigfoot? What you think is an encounter with one?
I believe I've had one sighting.
Oh, do tell.
It was a nighttime sighting. Mm-hmm. And I had it on my thermal, and it again was in North Georgia. I'll share this encounter too, if you'd like.
Yeah.
I've shared it several times, 'cause it's my only one, but I know it. Every time you go on a different show, you're reaching a new audience. So there's going to be people out there that are hearing it for the first time. We're on expedition around the same time as this happened, a little bit after, I would say, not in the same place, but still in North Georgia. If you go on the BFRO's website and you look up Walker County, Georgia, you'll see, unless they've updated it, you'll see 5 encounters that have happened in Walker County. All 5 of those are on Pigeon Mountain.
Whoa.
And that's where this place, this encounter happened.
Okay.
And I always get a kick. The first time we go up there, me and the vice president of my organization, Derek Walls, great buddy of mine. Good dude. I love him. He's a big goofy brother to me. But the first time we go up there, he found the place. He sold a kerosene heater or on Marketplace or something, and he delivered it to the people, and he just got to talking to them and said, yeah, me and my buddy we're going out looking for Bigfoot, you know, just trying to get information. And this old man told him that when he was a kid, he got chased, him and his hunting buddy got chased out of Pigeon Mountain, out of where they're hunting area on Pigeon Mountain, by something huge that was screaming at him and chasing him. So that's how we learned about Pigeon Mountain. So we get the idea to go up there. We head up there on our very first trip. We're at the foot of the mountain. There's a ranger station. I just thought, no, I'll check in, you know, let them know, see if we have to pay anything. You know, what's the procedure for camping here? So I go in, introduce myself, extremely nice man, young man, probably mid to late 20s, just very respectful, clean cut, everything you would expect from a police officer. That he's a ranger. So I introduce myself, I ask him about the camping. Yeah, going up there, find you a spot. There's no fee. Find you a spot, set up. Yeah, just be safe. So I'm having this conversation with him. All of those things I said about him led me to be a little bit comfortable around him. So I thought, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to ask him, have you guys had any experiences, heard any accounts of Bigfoot up here? And he kind of smiled and he said, nah, Bigfoot, no, I haven't heard anything. But with a dead serious look on his face, he said, but people talk about gnomes.
Well, that's a
that look you just gave me is the look that I gave him. You're shitting me. I kept waiting on him to laugh, and he didn't.
Hmm.
He didn't. He said, yeah, little people. There's been several people that claim that they've seen these tiny people. Even one of our most seasoned rangers claimed to have seen them on a couple occasions. And this dude is a no BS kind of guy. And I keep waiting on him to laugh and like punch me in the arm, say, gotcha. He never did. He never did. He said that they were doing some work up there sometime with heavy equipment, like earth move, ground mover stuff. And one of the workers saw something like that, a little person. It scared the hell out of him. And he told his, the foreman or whoever was over the job, and that guy called it in, and they stopped the work within like 20 minutes. They had them leaving. They wouldn't let them finish the job for some reason. I don't know if there's anything to it or not, but dude swore that he called them gnomes. I don't know why he would call them gnomes. Like, 'cause I think garden gnomes with the big hats.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Like that. But they're just,
Travelocity, yeah.
Exactly. There's these tiny little people that are running around up there. But and on my channel, Paranormal Odyssey, I do the podcast and I have the YouTube channel. We go live on YouTube and then I take the audio and I release it to podcast. But one of the projects I was doing a while back on my YouTube channel was taking these little known like legends and giving them attention and doing little short stories on them. And one of the things I covered was something called the Moon-Eyed People. And they were this tiny little race of Native American people. And they weren't called Moon-Eyed People because their eyes were big like moons. They were called that because the way their eyes were, they could only see at night. Huh. I mean, they could see the best at night. So they were like nocturnal. They did everything at night. So they called them the Moon-Eyed People. And that, I mean, there's an actual monument to them on one of the mountains in Ellijay, Georgia. The name of the mountain is escaping me right now. But I mean, it's, people talk about it. I don't know how legit it is, but there's an actual big monument dedicated to the Moon-Eyed People. Apparently they were run off by the Cherokee. But they were said to be really, really small.
Okay. Okay.
So I don't know if, I don't know. That's a fun story. I like to share it every once in a while. I get a laugh from people. I mean, it could be true. We could be out there and get my ass kicked by an 18-inch man.
Well, I do actually have, interestingly enough, I have a follow-up question to the gnomes. From your recollection, in anywhere in the area, are there mine shafts?
Pigeon Mountain is full of caves. Mines and stuff. It's a dangerous place. And that's one of the reasons we don't do night hikes on Pigeon Mountain, because people have fallen in. The place is very well known for its caves. Yes.
Okay. I only ask. I've got a buddy. He just got his like master's in folklore, so like he's very well versed with like, you know, fairy tales about fairies and gnomes and elves and stuff like that. So we got to talking about it, and there is a correlation between gnomes and elf sightings having to do with mines. Like a lot of miners have reported, you know, from the olden days, they used to report like seeing these things and seeing the what did he call them? Gnome lights. It's something lights in the shafts as well. And they were related to the concept of the little people. Thought that was interesting. And the fact that there are mines there is rather interesting to me.
So does he believe that they're real?
I think he believes that there is something to it. Yes. I'm not sure that he would specifically be like, yep, that is definitely a gnome, like just like we think of it as, and there's no more to the story, but I do think he thinks there is something to it. I'll just have to nail him down on that. Be like, are they real? You need to tell me.
Anyway, getting back to, the reason I told that thing was to talk about my sighting on Pigeon Mountain. But that was the first time that we went up there. We did have something really interesting happen that night, but it wasn't the sighting. Something happened that night that led us to come back in a couple of weeks. We went back with more people. We had two more guys, members of Manimal. So there was four of us this time. We camped in the exact same camp spot. And it was January, I think. Bitterly cold. The temperature was in the low teens, 10, 11, 12 degrees. Just painfully cold. So we're at this place. We hear a couple of tree knocks. And it's 11, 12 o'clock at night. One of the gentlemen, the older gentleman I was telling you about before, he was actually there with this one. He hears something over to our left, and he goes and checks it out. And this dude, he's been looking into Bigfoot for 40-something, 50-something years. Been in the woods. He's an outdoorsman. Nothing scares him. He's just crazy. He walks down to check it out, and he goes to this area, and he steps on this log. It's a down tree is what it was, and it was dark, you couldn't see how long it actually was. So he goes to step on it, and when he does, something steps off of the other side. He feels the log give, and he comes running back to us, just looks scared to death. He says, something back there, something big is back there. So I get my thermal out. And as I do on every investigation that I go on, I charge all of my equipment. Every researcher does. Make sure everything has a full battery before you go out. My therm was completely charged, 100%, before I left. I get it out. I start scanning the area. And we see it. We see something large. And I have a picture. Something very large. The battery was so low on my therm that I couldn't take a video. All I could do was get stills. Mm-hmm. So we're watching this thing, and it's swaying, like a nervous sway kind of thing, left to right. I've talked to so many people that have reported seeing them sway like that.
Sway, yeah.
This thing is swaying. There's something smaller running around in front of it, like scurrying back and forth. Looked like it was playing. Looked like something playing in the dirt is what it looked like. but the big one is swaying back and forth. I'm able to get a picture. My therm dies. I run back to my truck, plug it up, get enough of a battery to come back, hit it with it again. It's still there. It's swaying back and forth, but the little whatever it was is not. It's gone. Get another picture. It dies. Run back to the truck, get enough of a charge to come back, and on that third trip back, it was gone. There was nothing there. You can clearly see two arms hanging down to the side. You see two legs. You see the mass, torso, and you see a head in this picture. I couldn't get a video, unfortunately. Why was my battery so low?
Isn't that funny? That's, you're not the only one who has ever reported in a Bigfoot sighting the batteries drain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it about that? I don't know. I went on with Doug Hychek over on his show, his podcast. You familiar with Doug Hychek?
I am. I've had him on the show. Yeah.
The Monster Quest guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I went on with Doug and Alex, and I, you know, because they're tech guys. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, and he said, it can, the bitter cold can drain a battery, but it's over extended time, like your car battery. If you're parked in sub-zero temperature, it won't die overnight. But, you know, a week or so out there without it starting, your battery's going to die. My battery should not have died within a couple hours from the cold.
Right. And so, when you were going back and forth to charge it up enough to get back out, like, should it have held the charge a little bit longer than it was? Or was that just the situation? Like, you were only able to charge it enough just to grab the picture and then you had to run back.
Yeah, I was only, it was happening so fast and we were scared that it was going to leave. Mm-hmm. I just basically just got it to turn back on.
Yeah.
And ran out to get another picture. But you know, something else that's weird, we never felt threatened. We weren't afraid. We stayed. We didn't leave. You know, that's why we were there. We wanted to have an interaction. Nothing else happened. There was no rocks thrown. We didn't feel intimidated in the least bit.
Damn. How, estimate for me after the fact, how tall do you think it was?
We did a size comparison the next day. It was around 8 feet, a little below, a little above eight feet. Yeah.
Man. I would love to see that picture. If you remember to send it along, I'll put it in the show.
I'll send it to you as soon as we're done.
Awesome.
I sent it to someone just a couple of days ago. So I just dug it out. So I know it's fresh. I know right where it's at.
Thank you. Thank you. And I just realized we are going to be running up against time here. Everything. I wanted to ask you so much more, but just to briefly let my audience know, I'd love for you to just give us the overview of Paranormal Odyssey and That Bigfoot Podcast. Let them know, who are these shows good for? What kind of subjects do you cover? And, you know, just where they can find them.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. I took over the duties as host of Paranormal Odyssey in 2022, I think, maybe early 23. Brian King Sharp is the host of Sasquatch Odyssey, the widely, widely successful Sasquatch podcast, probably the third biggest in the world. He's not hurting. But he started Paranormal Odyssey because of all of the people that were reaching out to him. They were having these different kinds of encounters, so he created a place just for that. Well, he was so busy, he didn't really have the time to give it the love that it needed. Brian offered me to come on Sasquatch Odyssey after a little documentary that I was in. I posted about it on Facebook, and he saw it and offered me to come on. He interviewed me. And we just became, from that interview, we became very, very good friends very quickly. Started talking a lot, and he offered me the opportunity to take over Paranormal Odyssey. That show, we talk about, I'm a Bigfoot guy, as you guys can tell, so we're really Bigfoot heavy. Mm-hmm. We last night we did a show with a ghost hunter from here in Tennessee. We have a lot of paranormal investigators on. We talk to UFO people, witches, just anything weird and unusual that can't be really explained, we cover. We do a live show on YouTube every Tuesday at 8 o'clock. You were a guest on one of those. We also do an after-hour show on Saturdays at 10 p.m. Those are Eastern Standard Times. I take the audio from those shows and I upload those to podcasts. And you can get the Paranormal Odyssey podcast anywhere that you get podcasts. Also, That Bigfoot podcast is something that Brian and I are very proud of. We host that together. We call out the BSers in the community, like the gentleman that I talked about earlier with Zorth and the Vote for Trump, Bigfoot and the New World Order and all that crap. We talk about him and Todd Standing and some other people that don't have the best name in the community. And right. We hold people accountable. We do. And there's the reason we did that show is because no one is doing that right now. Everyone's just accepting it. The pictures we talked about, the pareidolia, the red circle squatches, no one is holding people accountable to that. I'm just going to say that bullshit. And that's what we do on that show. We get heated. It is not a show for children. It's not your grandfather's Bigfoot podcast. So keep that in mind. If you have little ones in the car, we're passionate about the subject and it ticks us off and we want it to stop and we're doing our part. But also you can find that anywhere that you get podcasts. And we would love for you guys, anyone out there to check either of those shows out.
Wonderful. Before I let you go here and we do our final part, people can actually see you, probably meet you at a convention near them because you are crazy busy. The shows keep you very busy on the air and off the air. As I understand it, you just came back from the Ozark.
We did the Ozark Bigfoot Conference. Brian and I both spoke at it. That was last month, end of September. And I just got back from Ohio, the Spirit of the Forest Bigfoot Conference, where I was also a speaker there.
Okay.
So, yeah, I've been pretty busy speaking at some conferences. That's it for this year, though. I don't have anything else lined up this year. There are a couple things next year, but we'll get into that when it gets closer to time.
Okay. All right. Well, I had so much more for you, but it's going to have to wait, man. I'm sorry. I was going to ask you about Dogman and a horse theory. We're going to just leave that as a teaser for folks so that they go check out your shows. Reach out to Wayne, guys, ask him about the horse theory. It's interesting. For now, why don't you let my audience know where they can find and follow you?
All right. I'm on Facebook. We have a Manimal Research group over on Facebook. And again, as I said, on YouTube, that is Paranormal Odyssey. We would love for y'all to go and hit that subscribe button. And everyone is welcome.
Awesome. And I will put every link that you want up in the show notes for people to easily find all of that. And to close out this conversation, would you like to leave my audience with any final thoughts, words of wisdom, or a piece of advice?
Yeah, just what I close every one of my shows with. Guys, if the golden rule has been around for thousands of years for a reason, it works. If we all treated people the way we wanted to be treated, there wouldn't be any crap going on in this world. So as I say at the end of all of our shows, be good to yourselves and be good to each other. I really do believe that. So yeah, that's all I got. That's what I end everything with.
Bigfoot researcher, host of Paranormal Odyssey, Wayne Tutherow, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you again, Wayne, for joining me. And thank you, listeners, for joining us. Be sure you are following Wayne at all of the social links I have posted in the show notes and are subscribed
to Paranormal Odyssey on YouTube. He and his co-host Tiffany go live every week. They have experts and experiencers of all walks on the show, and they cover quite the range of topics from UFOs to weird ghosts to dogmen and more. It really is a hell of a show and a lot of fun, so go check it out. During our chat, Wayne mentioned finding Thinker Thunker's video of a scream that he thought was spot on for what he had heard during his expedition in North Georgia. I am going to play that for you all now.
January 21st, about 11 p.m. I'm a couple hundred feet from my house. You can hear it going off in the background right now. Kind of sounds weird. Kind of sounds doggish, hyena-ish, but you can hear it going off in the background right now. It's really kind of strange, just to say the least. It's been going off for about 15, 20 minutes so far.
Not exactly something I would want to hear coming from somewhere out there in the dark woods. Now, for my audio-only audience interested in seeing that thermal capture that Wayne also referred to, took place in North Georgia, different expedition, you're going to want to head over to this episode on YouTube and pop into this little outro right here and take a peeky-poo, because here it is. Pretty dang interesting capture, I must say. Thank you, Wayne, for sharing that with us. If you are not already following the Paranormal Girl podcast on Instagram, Facebook, or TikTok while it lasts, please consider doing so at Paranormal Girl Pod. I have also recently added my presence over on Blue Sky Social. And of course, please subscribe to the show on YouTube. That handle to find me on all of those platforms, again, is at Paranormal Girl Pod. You can catch me live on YouTube December 7th, 4:30 p.m. Pacific, over on the Beer, Booze, and Boogeymen channel. We are discussing Ouija board and seance communication stories, and sharing our own personal experiences, and taking your calls. It has taken a while for us to get back up and running with, you know, like half of our cast still dealing with the aftermath of the hurricane in North Carolina. But I think we're finally ready to fire it back up. Now, if you would rather not call into the show, but you still have a personal account that you would like to share of your encounter with Zozo the Demon, or you have attended a seance and some wacky stuff happened, please send your story to the show via the submission buttons at www.ghost.beer. That will wrap today's show. Join me Tuesday for an all-new deep dive episode. I will see you guys there. Until then, stay safe, keep the nightlight on, and sleep with one eye open.
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get a juicy frozen grade A Kroger turkey for 49 cents a pound, limit one with a $25 additional purchase with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.